Hang on, what? Well, they don't get it. You don't give them a chance. They have a chance. Mom says she has something to share, but she wants to give you all a chance. She doesn't want to jump in and take away your opportunity. You come on in here. Still, they can still talk to you if they want.
Hi, everyone. The Lord was speaking to me this week about two scriptures, and really, I feel it's because of what Daniel talked about. Now, I had no idea what Daniel was going to talk about.
None
at all.
I didn't until 2 days ago.
But this is a scripture he gave me in Joel 2, 1 and 2a. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in holy mountain. Now, I feel, and I'm not trying to hold Daniel up, but I feel that's what Daniel's been doing these past years. He's been blowing a trumpet in Zion, and he's been trying to sound an alarm in God's holy mountain, which is Zion, which is those that are pressing into the high calling. And 20 years ago, God gave him that name, Zion's Trumpet, and we know that that was the Lord that gave him that name. And we just know that the rest of this scripture is, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. And you know, God's people don't want to face that truth. They want their life to just be joy, peace, and happiness. And they don't want to face the truth that God's trying to speak to his people. Also, this is another scripture he gave me in Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be over. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Doesn't that sound like the two witness company? You know, when the Lord first started making this real to me years ago about the two witness company, I know that the Lord showed me it's two groups of people. And that it's not just two individuals, but it's two groups of people. And the reason that he's measuring that golden altar of incense, that's where those that are laying down their life and are intercessory with intercessory prayer and laying down their life, they're going to the golden altar of incense. That stands for intercessory prayer and laying down your life. And he's measuring everyone that's endeavoring to walk in that area. Not just two people, but he's measuring. And the reason he's measuring is because evidently everyone isn't going to make the standard. But he is measuring. I want to tell you, I have known from that day on that I am measured, that we are being measured. God is measuring our daily walk with him. We are being measured, people. What an awesome thing to be measured by the holy God of the whole creation. That's so wonderful to me. And also, this other scripture that he gave me was, what is that? It's in Acts 17:31. It says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and whereby he has given assurance to all men because he raised him from the dead. And you know, that day is approaching. And anyone that has any kind of a walk with the Lord knows. I was thinking of those 10 virgins. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That call is in our spirit. If we see what's happening in the world, how the world is being set up for the end of the age, that call, behold, the bridegroom cometh, is in our spirit. It's deep in our spirit. And he tells us to have the oil in our vessels. Because if we don't have the oil, the lamp, though I believe with all my heart that those five foolish virgins were saved. I believe they loved the Lord. I believe they were waiting for his coming. Why would anyone be waiting for the bridegroom to come if they didn't belong to him? And they were virgins. That stands for purity. And they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But they didn't have the oil of the Holy Spirit in them. The wise virgins took oil in their vessels. They had the life of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking this week when I was listening to these Christmas carols and the Lord was blessing my spirit so. And I thought, what a miracle of that God did when he sent the Holy Spirit to overshadow Mary and to plant a seed in her womb that would eventually become the Son of the living God in the flesh. What a miracle. But you know, do you realize he's performed that same kind of a miracle in us? He sent that same Holy Spirit to dwell in our spirit and to make us part of his glorious kingdom. And when they sing that song, he come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. I get an excitement in my spirit. He came from the glorious kingdom. And he made us part of the glorious kingdom. Bring the glorious kingdom back here to earth to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But he's asking us to be ready. He's asking us to be ready and to believe and to walk in present truth. And even though we're celebrating the birth of Jesus in a real spiritual way, holy, awesome way, we're still walking in present truth that he's coming back this time as judge. He came the first time to save. He's coming the second time to judge. And he will judge. He will judge righteously. And I just have such an overwhelming prayer in my heart for what God did for us. For what he did for us, that he made us part of him. He made us part of his kingdom. And that same Holy Spirit that he sent to overshadow Mary dwells inside our spirit. How wonderful, how glorious. This season has really been delightful to me in realizing that that same Holy Spirit dwells in me. I guess that's it. Thank you. Shalom.
Amen. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. Mom's always like icing on the cake. Well, anybody else have anything to share or something to say? Anything to say? Maybe she should teach some Sunday. I told her. She anytime she wants to, she can go on there and teach. You know, she. Let's see. Go ahead, Kim. You got the mic.
Dan, I get such a clear and strong witness that what Mr. Bible teacher was teaching is from the devil, because the Lord was showing me as you were preaching that that just like the devil said to Eve, yea, hath God said, that's what he's saying. Yea, hath God said that he would judge the earth? Yea, God hath said that he will judge the earth. He's trying to say that God's not going to judge the earth. And that's what Revelation says, that God is going to judge the earth through his two witness company and then through his son who comes back. So, yes, God will judge the earth. And I don't agree with anything that man says.
Amen. That's right. Take him out and burn him at the stake. He doesn't necessarily deny that God's going to judge the earth or that Jesus will judge the earth. He just denies the two witness company with that kind of ministry. You know, he's against the idea that we have anything to do with judgment. Christians don't judge. Christians don't murder their enemies. All right, he is stuck in the old evangelical mindset. He can't hear any present truth because he turned his mind away from present truth 2 years ago. Okay, that's okay. I understand what you're saying. You only get what I'm telling you. You know, I didn't tell you the whole thing, but I don't want to falsely accuse a guy either. I just want to, you know, bring out what is wrong. He's just saying that the two in his company cannot be that kind of thing. That would not be Christian. And it would also exalt them above another group of Christians. It would be divine the body. It just goes against too many of his false ideas. Okay? But you're right. It's still just as wrong. Still just as demonic. And he's still denying the word of the Lord. So that's okay. Lisa never liked this guy. Lisa told me 3 years ago he's a false prophet. She says, I don't think it would matter if he put down the Bible. He does not love the truth, or would rather believe a lie. So the guy is saying, in strong delusion to believe it of another spirit, even without the written word. Well, that's true. It's just sad that the devil is able to use the Bible to deceive people like that. That was my point. But you're right. Uh-oh. I think Mom's going to have a second round here. Stay tuned.
Okay, since we're talking about, hi everyone, since we're talking about Steve Lumley, I want to say this. It isn't that he hasn't been warned. He has been warned by quite a few people, I, one of them. One time, when I felt he was going off, I couldn't sleep for two nights. I did everything I could. I listened to music, I prayed, I did everything, and I could not sleep. And I kept saying, Lord, what are you trying to say? And I started feeling I was to write him a letter, and I thought, oh, no, Lord. No more letters to Steve Lumley. No, Lord. And, you know, finally, I had to give in and write it. And, of course, I went sound asleep afterwards. But I told him in that letter, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I told him that the thing that drew me to him was the first night I heard him, he talked about the Manchild Company. And because I had a lot of truth on that, it drew me to him, and I thought, God is really showing him truth. Then he comes out and denies that's true, that was when Jesus was born of Mary. That not only that, there were quite a few other things he denied. And the Lord had me tell him that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I told him in love, and I said, Brother Steve, you're being double-minded, you're listening to wrong spirits, and I'm warning you that God is telling you that you're going off. And now I was amazed. I didn't hear what Danny heard him say that. I mean, that's the first time message. Isn't that? I was astounded that I couldn't believe what he was saying. That really knocks me off, because I know at one time Steve was on the right road. And when I see now all this thing, this deception that he's in, it hurts. But it's hard to believe. But you know what? We make our own choice. God puts the choices before us, and we make our own choice, and there's nothing God will do. There's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing about someone else's choice, and there's nothing God will do about their choice. That's just the way it is. So I just wanted to say that, because I know that brother was warned by quite a few people that he was going off the wrong track. And even when we were in New York with him, his wife said to me, you know, sometimes we can go down, it seems like we're walking down the same path, and then all of a sudden you deviate off to the right. Well, I felt like saying, honey, it's not me that's deviating off to the right, it's you. But I just said, I didn't say anything, but I told him in that letter that I knew from that day that we were walking down two different paths. So I don't know, that was on my heart to say that. I hope it's all right with the Lord that I said it. Shalom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Looks like we got Brother Hugh. Brother Hugh, you got the mic. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay. I had the mic muted. I'm sorry. Anyway, Dan, you said something that really impacted me, because over the past, I guess, 6 months, I've been going back and forth in Revelation and here and there. And when you made that statement that we need to be very careful of what we teach from Revelation, if we really aren't clear and understand, if God hasn't revealed it to us, because it is true that, you know, if we add or take away from that word, there's serious consequences. If we take away from the word, God will take away our name from the book of life. And if we add to it, he'll add to us the plagues written there. So I have to keep that in mind, because I was looking at some of that stuff that I mentioned to you about, what was it, Lightbearers Ministry. And you are right, the website you did look at was the correct website, because I looked into it some more, and I just felt that it was not teaching that was consistent with God's Word. And so I just put it aside. But when you said that tonight about Revelation, about, you know, if God reveals the truth to you, then so be it. But if he doesn't, don't go off track. Don't make up things. Don't try to understand it if God hasn't revealed that truth to you. Just read it. And it is true. The Bible says if you read it, you'll be blessed. It didn't say if you read and understand. So I appreciate that, Dan. Thanks. And God bless everybody.
Hey, okay. Thanks for sharing, bro. Appreciate that. I forgot all about that thing with the Seventh Day Adventist thing. I hope you wouldn't think I was preaching at you, man. That wasn't in my mind. But that's right. I believe that's true, though. You know, just read Revelation. If God wants to show you something, he will. I think you get blessed because two things. I'll tell you why I get blessed. Let's put it that way. You get in the book and you see we win, first of all. All right? You see all this evil happens. And it's horrible, horrible, horrible. But in the end, Jesus is victorious. We're victorious. All that, right? Also, I think when you read the Bible in general, not just Revelation, but when you read the Bible in general, in the right spirit now, you're feeding your spirit man. And even if your mind isn't getting any direct revelation from the Spirit, or you're not getting any great truth, you're not getting any great revelation, you're still feeding that spirit man. That Bible's still feeding your spirit man. And so that's also a blessing. So there's two reasons why you know, John said, you'll be blessed to read the book. First of all, it's going to feed your spirit, man, whether you understand it or not. And second of all, it's all about Jesus winning. You know, it is. It is. It's the final conflict at the end of the ages, and we win. We don't all come out alive, naturally, but we all win, you know, if you stay true to the Lord. So anyway, that's why I read it. I read it a lot. And half the time I don't get anything out of it, but I just keep reading it because it's a blessing. Last week in the presence of a charismatic guy. Charismania. And the Pharisaical spirit manifested, judging you falsely as being angry and for saying the word crap. Lord, forgive me for saying the word crap. But completely throws away 100% of what you were saying about Christian deception. I had to stand up against him and tell him what manner of spirit he was. Well, good for you, Joey boy. Good for you. The Lord's making you a warrior. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of, doing something next week about this, the concept of a remnant within the true church. Because that's what he rejected and put him down the path of deception, all these different areas. And it's a shame because most people reject that truth, the concept of a remnant within the church. And it's throughout the scripture. And one of the big ones is Gideon's 300, Gideon's 300 was not like the only saved people in Israel, and the rest of Israel was apostate. Gideon's 300s were the overcomers. They went out and got the victory for the rest of Israel. We got Sister Sissy. Go ahead, Sister Sissy, you have the mic.
Hi, everybody. I something that just came to my mind, as we read the Word of God and stuff like that. One thing I've been careful about, and I don't know if anybody else has thought about this, I'm sure you all have, like, for example, my King James Bible has notes at the bottom. I literally try to avoid looking at those notes because some of that stuff is just so strange sometimes. And then when you look at who put these particular Bibles together, you realize that where they're coming from. Just to give you an idea, if they're from a fundamentalist background or, Baptist background or a Calvinist background too, who knows, So I've just virtually ignore it. I mean, I've had some notes where they deny even that God still heals. Hey, so obviously I know where that's coming from. So just a comment on that. I think what brought that to my memory was when you mentioned the kind of books that we read and that type of thing. So yeah. That's something that I watch out for, and I just thought I'd share that. God bless you. Love you guys.
Amen, Sister Sissy. That's pretty good. I was thinking that along those lines, too, because I got about 30 different Bibles sitting on my shelf here, different Bible versions and different Bibles, and a lot of them have notes. And when I got my Bible program, this Bible program I use called PC Study Bible, I like that better because it's like an inductive study tool. Even the cross-references. Now, I'm not talking about the notes now, like Scofield's notes, all those notes those people put in it. But even just the cross-references, you get a Bible with a good cross-reference Bible, even those cross-references come from somebody's idea of what should be referenced to what. You know what I mean? It's not neutral. So a Bible program called PC Study Bible years ago, and I found that it's a good way to do an inductive Bible study. Inductive, which is, you just trace out the word wherever it is in the Bible. You're not being sent to a certain place by somebody's notes or by somebody's reference who you don't know where they're coming from. Because they may be sending you to that reference, to that scripture, because they're a Calvinist. That's part of their doctrine, like you said. So even the reference Bibles, that just have the reference, not the actual notes, but the cross-references, even they can be tainted. So that's why I do. I got my Bible study program, and it's just a strictly neutral thing. A way to do an inductive study, which is you just go through the scripture, and it's like going down a concordance, really. Basically, you just go down and look at every word, where it occurs, every place, and then you get a general concept of it. You know what I mean? So let's see. Go ahead, Brother Hugh. You got the mic.
Well, Dan, I just want to make a actually, I'll pose a question to you then. Maybe you can speak on it briefly. You know, in my desire to learn more of God's Word, you know, I do read God's Word, the Bible, and I like reading other people's thoughts who have written about the Bible too, but I agree with you. It's getting to the point where people have an agenda. They have their presuppositions that they come to their book with. And so as you're reading, it's like you have to have your radar up. You have to be very careful of what you're doing. That's how I got caught up into the Calvinistic false teaching. The desire to want to learn and reading people's commentaries and people's books and footnotes and things like that. So would you say that it's just best just stick to God's Word so that you won't get under someone's bad teaching or false teaching or demonic teaching? Why don't you speak a little bit more on that? Because I know you touched on it, but maybe you can make it a little more clear how dangerous that is, even when you are reading someone's book that you might feel comfortable with, that is teaching well thought out and biblical. So anyway, tell me what your thoughts are.
Okay, that's kind of a hard one. Let me start this way without going to a great big thing. It helps to have certain concepts, Christian concepts, grounded in your mind. Like there's a goal for Christianity. It's not open-ended. We're not going to heaven. All those kinds of things. A lot of things I teach, okay? That a few other teachers teach also. Once you get those general principles and concepts in your mind, that itself can act as a filter to weed out a lot of garbage as soon as you read it. I got a lot of truth from a lot of different ministers, you know. Now, most of them were out of the system. A few of them, like, were in the system. For a while, I listened to, when I was a young Christian, I listened to that Eternal Security guy. What's his name? I listened to him for like 6 months or maybe a year. And I got blessed because he wasn't teaching internal security at that time. He was teaching obedience and discipleship. And anyway, but I went through my life listening to a lot of different preachers. But see, what I did you was every time I listened to somebody or I felt to go read something, I prayed. And I said, God, I want the truth. If there's any truth in this book, any truth in this message, any truth in this minister, please show me what the truth is and keep me from the error. And God was faithful to show me, you know. He's faithful to show me, to check me when I was reading something that wasn't of him. And all I can tell you is that's how I did. Now, it's getting worse. That was 20 years ago, okay? 20 years down the road now, it's getting worse, and there's much more garbage. It's much more dangerous. It's filled with more spirits than even when I was 20 years ago when I was first came to the Lord. So I hate to tell people to do what I do. I don't know if it's going to work anymore, but that's what I did. I'm just telling you what I did. You know, I didn't go fishing for everybody. I kind of narrowed my people down, the kind of books I was reading and who I was reading, I kind of narrowed it down to people I felt had, you know, some end time truth, solid truth, weren't teaching a lot of traditional garbage, but that's what I did. And the Lord was faithful. The Lord was just faithful time and time and time and time and time again to give me a checking when I was reading something that wasn't true, didn't sit right. I think that's why I learned early on in my walk how to follow the checkings and the leadings of the Spirit. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't head knowledge, although I was learning things in my brain. I was listening to messages. I was gaining truth from ministers. I was always following that checking in the Spirit, always following that spiritual thing when I felt good or bad in the Spirit about something. And see, I had no doctrinal agenda to protect. I didn't come to God with a doctrinal agenda to protect or to uphold. I said, God, I don't care. I just want to know what the truth is. I don't care if what I believed in the past was all error. I just want to know the truth. As you come with that kind of attitude, I think God can check you, and you'll hear the checkings. So it's a lot that depends on the kind of person you are, how honest you are with yourself, how honest you are with God, you know, how open you are, how teachable you are. I couldn't tell you exactly what to do, brother. I just couldn't. I don't go to websites. I do not go to websites and search for truth. I stopped doing that a long time ago because there's just too much error, But that's what I did. Wherever I read, whoever I listened to, I just said, God, please show me the truth, ground me in the truth, and keep me from the error. That's all. That's what I did my whole life. Go ahead.
But what I was saying was that, you know, Dan, you had mentioned before that as we grow more in grace and learn more of God's truths, that Satan attacks us in a more subtle way. And I do appreciate what you said when you said that about there's doctrinal error, but there's also experiential error too, and that Satan wants to deceive us any way he can. And so even though our doctrinal foundation might be strong, if we don't have our guard up to understand that how Satan's going to come at us, he can come at us with signs and wonders and all this other kind of thing. So I appreciate that, but then it goes to the next step, is that the more we become fortified in truth and protected by God, Satan is going to get more and more subtle, because he's after us. Because the world he's already devoured, but he wants to devour the believers, those who are going on to the high calling. And one of the things I did mention, and I guess Street Preacher heard me, is that my wife, she just stays focused on God's Word. I don't see her reading books like she used to, and looking at commentary notes and things like she used to. But so sometimes makes me think, maybe that's what I should do, just read God's Word. But when I first encountered you, you know, I encountered you off of a website. It was actually Steve Lumsley's website. Had on there ebook by Dan Mays. So I looked at it, and I was real hesitant, and I kind of went back and forth about your first book, Escaping the Religious System. But it seemed like the Holy Spirit kept telling me that this is true. This is true. So I kept reading, and it eventually led to where I am today. And then because I was concerned about other truths you may be teaching, whether it was correct or not, I read all your books as fast as I could, and I think you remember that. So I flew through your writings. I flew through all your books, and I've come to appreciate what you believe and what you teach. But I still have that hunger for the truth, and that's why I mentioned to you the other day about where you write another book anytime soon, and you said you're busy with the chat room. And so it's probably best to be very careful, but I appreciate you said that if you have strong foundation in the truth, then you can hopefully recognize the error. But the most important thing is to be guided by the Spirit of God and pray before you read. So anyway, that's the comment I was trying to make. Hope everybody heard it. Thanks.
That's right, you. That's good. That's good. That's right. What can I say? The Lord can lead you. That's all I can say. You know, you can't make a list of books you should read, a list of authors you should read, because I've read some authors that some of the stuff they said were good, and I got life out of it, and some of the stuff they said were trash, and I would never recommend they read anything by that guy, you know, but the Lord used to speak something to me, you know. So the Lord is our guide. The Lord is our protection. If we're teachable and we remain humble and we understand how weak we are, how vulnerable we are, how easily deceived we are, and we keep leaning on the Lord and leaning on the Lord, he'll bring us through. The reason so many people get deceived, my brother, is because they're proud, they're arrogant, and they're unteachable. They have agendas. They have doctrinal, theological agendas, and when you try to teach them the truth, they reject the truth. And when you reject the truth, you come under God's judgment. That's all there is to it. And he turns you over to lies because you won't receive the truth. And I mean, if we stay teachable, we stay humble, and we keep leaning on the Lord all the time, he'll check us. That's all I can tell you. Unless you're from the wrong spirit from the get-go. If you got the wrong spirit from the beginning, then there's no way. You're gonna, you know, you have to have somebody else come along and tell you this is not Jesus. You never knew Jesus. You got to start from scratch, man. But unless that's a condition, I don't, you know, under normal circumstances, that's not a condition. Go ahead.
Dan, I have to tell you about that, remind you of the comment when I first left the church system, when the minister, that my last pastor that I attended the church, he came to me, and he actually called me finally and caught me off guard over the phone, and he said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm studying God's Word and being led by the Spirit of God. And he said, what about the Greek and Hebrew? I think I remember you telling you that story. And the thing is, I've come to learn how the Greek and Hebrew can be twisted just like the English can be twisted. And, you know, I feel that the Holy Spirit trumps any Greek and Hebrew. And I just blasted him after that. And I let him know in no uncertain terms that God's Word and His Spirit is all I need. Anyway, so you are so right. If you keep a teachable, humble spirit and you look to for God to direct you, then he will lead you. So, amen to that. Thanks, brother.
Amen. That's all I can say. I mean, I'm nobody special. I'm not smart. I'm not smarter than anybody else, average. You know, I didn't finish ninth grade. I finished ninth grade, and that's it. Never went to high school, and I was a jerk. I ran around, went on drugs, and I was selfish and a moron. So I'm just like your normal average sinner, pulled up out of the gutter. But it was my attitude towards Jesus and my attitude towards myself. I knew what I was. I knew I was nothing. I knew I was a gutter rat. And when I came to the Lord, my posture was one of humility inside. I didn't walk around with my head down and walk around saying, I'm a scumbag. Oh, woe is me. But that was my inner attitude. I knew what I was without Jesus. I knew where I deserved to be. All right? And if you just get in that attitude, an attitude of humility and leaning on Jesus for everything, he comes through. He just comes through. He does all the things that all these people think he's doing for them, but he's not, because they're walking in rebellion and pride and deception. But what can I say? All I can say is I encourage humility. I encourage dependence and humility. That's more than anything that will keep you out of deception. And, of course, if you have a brother or sister who can watch your back, who can see your blind spots. I was also blessed with that. I was blessed with a little group who had discernment. Okay, enough about me. Well, it's getting kind of late. Anything else, guys, before we shut her down? Appreciate all the input. Okay. Oh, this is a great time. Thanks. Okay, great, Sissy. Thanks. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise. Be good.